Right. Aaron's dialed in, so we do have a call.
All right, it's 6:02. Let's call the Odyssey School Board meeting to begin. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item of business is the previous minutes. I know I didn't give you much time to look through them, but did everybody get a chance to look through the multiple pages I sent over?
Yes. We should have had a time.
It's the joy of getting an excellent head of school report, so I appreciate that. Regretfully, I need a motion and I can't do it.
I move we accept the minutes of the previous board meeting.
Okay.
This is Aaron, I second.
That was Aaron. Okay. Excellent. That'll be call for a vote. All those in favor?
Discussion before the vote. No? I think. No?
Did you say we don't need a vote?
I don't know. Can you crank the volume a little bit?
Yeah, we need a vote. Okay.
Is that better?
We're just accepting them to you.
All right, one more time, Eva. Sorry.
I think you need to open it for discussion before you open it for a vote.
Fair enough. Now we can hear everybody. We had to adjust some technical issues here. Any points of discussion on the minutes?
We already
nothing. Okay. So let's call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Minutes will be approved as written and submitted. And now we'll move on to. So does public comments come next, or does the head of school report come next?
Public comments usually come first.
Usually we do public comment first.
Public comments okay. Usually first.
Valerie, do we have any public comments?
I haven't received any. Thanks, Ken.
Okay.
You can accept any
public. All right, wonderful. Then,
okay,
there it is.
Well.
We're off to the head of school report.
Head of school report. I'm going to start sharing my screen so that everybody can see it as I go through it. So welcome everybody. It's good to spend some time with you all again today. We're going to be in with our head of school report. So COVID updates, number one, the return to campus testing event that we did for the week before we came back live. At our campus event, we tested 734 individuals. We did get 5 positive test results from our testing event. 4 of them were confirmed through a PCR after that. We also had 9 positive test results from individuals who took their tests outside of Odyssey before we came back, which means that we were able to pick up 13 positive COVID tests before returning from that week that we had virtual. So we were able to pick up 13 asymptomatic cases, which is precisely why we wanted to make sure we stay extra cautious and we still go forward with these events, because we want to make sure that we don't cause a shutdown of the entire school. And with the cross-contamination from all the campuses and the buses, this could have been something that really could have set us back quite a bit. So it is a testament to the decision-making of the school to go ahead and be forward-thinking and come up with this to have a very successful week back this week as well. That's that part. Moving on, self-reported staff vaccinations. Over 50% of our staff has self-reported that they have received both vaccinations, which is good news. We are moving towards obviously the 50% threshold, which is what we're looking for in order for us to have kind of that herd immunity within our own community. Students have been required, as we said, to have the negative COVID test within 1 week prior to the scheduled return date, which is exactly what we did. Our rollout of the staff vaccines have occurred. We already gave you the data on that. I want to give you some return data as well from the schools. At the lower school, All students have been given the option to return to 4 days per week. And only a few students remain that have done so by choice. Altogether, there are 406 students that are coming to school 4 days a week, with an average of 17 in class and eight students Zooming per class. These numbers do vary, obviously, from class to class, but overall, that's where we're at. For the high school, as of the 26th, which is the return date, all the high school have been offered the ability to shift to 4 day per week, and we have 116 students who have chosen to do so, which represents just about 40% of that population. At the middle school, we have started as of the 29th of March, and we have about 302 students as of next week who will be attending. In the sixth grade, there's 106, seventh grade is 106, and eighth grade is 90. That in total is about 57% of the middle school coming back to in-person learning. At the intermediate school, we have also welcomed back over 300 students, 348 in-person students, represents 63% of the intermediate school student body. On another note, we also have a book fair going on this week. I'll speak to that in a few moments. That's led by Ms. Gates and by the PTO, and a lot of students have gone by. It's been really successful and exciting to do that. So that's the first part of our COVID report. For the second part, there's testing available for our staff. You can even do walk-in testing if you need to. We already talked about the fact that surveys were sent out. Our last survey was for the 26th of April, which is the last major return. That'll be, again, some high school students that are returning. And that's the last survey that we're sending for the year. We're kind of locked in for the rest of the year. I've included a couple websites on the side for on what Dr. Fauci's remarks have been and what three-foot distancing is all about in case some folks want to research that. All of the students that are on campus have been required, like we said, to get a COVID test before they return, and the students that have had positive COVID tests, you know, were not part of coming into the building at all. We've been able to prevent that.
We cannot hear you. No. Sounds really, really bad.
We have a
6% I can't hear you.
Is it possible to change the setting so people are muted as soon as they log into the meeting?
You don't have any
people. No.
Because if we want to wear a mask, we
want to keep it. All right, so I've got to try to find it right now. Hold on.
The setting is if you go under participants, there's a button that says mute at the very bottom, and you can choose to mute all.
Thank you. Okay, very good. That will help reduce some of the background noise that we are experiencing. As we said, overall, across all grade levels, we do have about 60% of our students back in session, which is a very welcome sight for us. It's been very busy on site. We're really happy to have the kids. Like I said, we've already talked about our COVID protocols that have been very successful in helping us in the process of making sure that we're safe. I'd like to move on and talk a little bit about the fundraising components that we've been doing. The BRIC fundraiser has launched officially, and we want our goals to be at least $80,000 that we're able to get from this activities. So, what I'd like to say about that is, at this point, we have sold 79 bricks, and we also have some other larger contributions as well. So we're over 40% to our goal now, which is very comforting in the short amount of time that we've been doing this. I'm still getting feedback that people cannot hear me, so I don't know what else I can do to help that. Maybe
maybe it has to do with this. I don't know how much closer I can move this.
That is helping tremendously.
Okay. We're going to have to, it looks like one of those is not in front of this computer, which is what the problem is. This one's gonna get on the floor. Okay. All right. How's that? Is that better? So, going back to what I was saying before, like overall, we have welcomed back over 60% of the kids in our COVID testing. Our surveillance testing has again successfully helped us with catching 13 asymptomatic cases during our virtual week, which prevented us from having to have large closures of buildings. So it's very, very important that we can continue to stay diligent in our processes so that we create a safe environment for our kids all the time. The Buy the Brick fundraiser is going really well so far. Like we said, we are at about 40% of our goal of $80,000 already. We have sold 79 bricks thus far. The flagpoles are being installed right now this week. The foundations have been dropped, the sleeves are in. So we're getting ready to begin the first kind of courtyard in front of building 21. So that's really exciting as well. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, I think you could probably still squeeze in for this first production by Friday. So please try to get that done if you could, or if you have any local businesses or family members that want to advertise. Obviously, this is a wonderful way to permanently be a part of the history or the historical footprint of the school, which is very exciting. Following our meetings with consultants, we should also say, in terms of fundraising updates, that we have increased our capacity for fundraising. We have a cloud-based system that we're finalizing. We're also finalizing the hire of a school development consultant to help with future fundraising and strategic initiatives. And this process should conclude in the fall of the coming days. We should have that squared away in a few days. We're in the process of putting together a parent education event about equity-based grading. That will occur in the next week or so. So please look out for information in the next week or so about an early May kind of parent education event. Look for that. We also are continuing our work with OCS, Fourth Dimension for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Our leadership team has now completed 3 of the 6 training sessions. And as I continue to work with with stakeholders throughout, I'm also doing meet and greets with families. Our last one was on April 15th, featuring board members and me. We discussed our full return to in-person instruction. And we also discussed the return for April 26th of the high school, the rest of the return for that, and the new car line procedure and the ongoing construction of the Wegmans in front of our school, which is something that we are continuing to focus on. And we are going to be asking that everybody try to be a little bit patient with us as we work through our new car line. And one of the reasons why this is an important piece for all of us to realize is, number one, we haven't had students in the building at this level for over a year. So there is some routine and procedure that we're working out right now in terms of the kinks. In addition to that, I want to remind everybody that due to the state regulations of only allowing 23 kids per bus, that has increased the amount of cars that are coming onto campus by an unprecedented amount compared to where we were before. So in the process of us problem solving, how many more cars are coming on campus and all of the bus routes that we're trying to do and working with our partners at Petnaro for the construction project of the Wegmans. We are working on a long-term solution to make the car line as efficient as we possibly can. Our efforts to increase communication across the schools using operations updates during the staff meetings has been going on. We've been pushing in with our leadership team into the staff meetings so that there's more transparency. We've also increased our Blackboard communication capacity to include Facebook and other social media outlets so we can expand our reach when we are making announcements. We're working on some community level events as well. Our first of which you probably saw at the end of last month
was our bicentennial anniversary of Greek independence, which was a huge success. Our message that came from Freedom Plaza was viewed by thousands of people nationally, and it helped support our vision of letting the world know exactly who Odyssey is and why we're so special. We are planning a celebratory staff picnic. It's coming up at the end of the year, and that's being led by our very own Katie Manley, so we thank her for her support in trying to get that up and running for us. Outdoor class celebrations are also being planned for June, so the end of the year class celebrations, and please don't forget that we have graduations coming for K-5, 8, and 12 this year, and look for very specific communication this week about dates and logistics and things like that regarding graduation. So that will be coming from your building or your school level administration. The PTO is hosting a book fair, as I mentioned before. This is an opportunity for our students to enhance their love of reading and promote literacy in our school. The fair is located in the gym between buildings 21 and 22. Thank you to Ms. Miller for helping us with this as well. I've seen a lot of the PTO members out there working hard, scanning people and helping make it a success for us, and we thank them for that. Okay, moving on, I have some high school updates for us as well. The total number of applications submitted as of 4/21 is 193 now. We have the percent of our class having applied is at 71%. 33% of our students, one-third of our students, have reported merit scholarships and grant awards that have totaled $1.4 million in grants so far. This is very, very good. Obviously, our FAFSA is increasing, and it's up to 65%. We have 106 acceptances in 13 different states thus far, which is really awesome as well. We are definitely doing very well on the enrollment side as well. It looks like we're poised to accept our largest incoming ninth grade class ever. And we're continuing to solidify the enrollment for our eighth grade as well. I will have more information, more specific information in the next board meeting on exactly how many ninth graders are coming, but it will be the largest ninth grade group we've ever accepted. Students who are joining our freshman class are also receiving these really cute boxes that have swag in them, t-shirts and lanyards and all of this good stuff. Any current eighth graders who are planning to stay at OCS and have not received these boxes should definitely reach out to Ms. Principe or Ms. Lingo so that we can make sure that they get what they need. From a recognition perspective, we really want to shout out two of our staff members at the high school level. Shannon Beck was recognized by the College Board as one of the 2021 College Board Counselors of the Year. She was one of four counselors recognized across the state and the only one that's in the charter system. Kudos to Melissa Tracy as well, being selected once again by the Eagles as an all-pro teacher for the 2021 school year. At this time, I'd like to move it over to some middle school points. One of the areas where we're really focusing on is making sure that when we're doing professional development at Odyssey Charter School, the professional development is leading to outcomes directly into our own classes. So that means that the projects that are being done and the information that's being gathered and the work that's being done by our teachers is going right back to benefiting our specific students. And although we haven't had it necessarily as a practice at Odyssey Charter in the past, we are going to start highlighting individuals who have gone through professional developments and programs in conjunction with Odyssey Charter to help serve our students better. And we're starting this tradition now. So for those of us that have done this beforehand, I apologize that we weren't able to shout you out quite yet, but we'll get a list of those and get those to you, get those shout outs from those folks as well. But right now, I'd like to recognize from our middle school, Alexander Malonis, who has successfully defended her doctorate degree this last March. And I'm actually going to ask her to join us and tell us a little bit about her research and how it specifically benefits our students as a result of her doctoral research. Dr. Malonis?
Love the sound of that. Thank you, Mr. Backus. So I use the science, the improvement science approach with my research. So practitioners such as myself, we concentrated on problem solving that centered on inquiry, results, revisions, and modifications to a specific program or to the institution. The focus was on cultivating global citizenship. and its impact specifically on middle school students. So the intervention of my research was a food studies course, which was geared towards the experience of curriculum outside of the traditional classroom setting. The study through food, through the lens of language, culture, environment, and the environment, similar to a school in Arkansas, the Delta School, and aligned with our school, OCS's school mission and goals, where students learn through human-centered problem-solving projects that are globally driven, that provide globally driven programming and create culturally aware and sensitive students relevant to building their relationships and their roles as global citizenships. So I concentrated my research on lowering discipline rates in the middle school, and there was a 25% decrease with the cohort of students from 6th to 8th grade. So it was from their 3 years in middle school. It resulted in positive interactions by working, collaborating through kitchen labs, fundraising, garden chairs, field trips, and exposing them to customs and traditions by building their relationships and their cultural awareness. So the implications for our school and for leadership were to immerse the students in experiential learning intellectually, socially, emotionally, and physically, where they reflect their knowledge of subject matter, not just that, but develop skills, values, and experiences to cultivate global citizenship and contribute to the community. Leave Odyssey as perfect, awesome, global citizenship, global citizens and owls, respectful owls. So that's it in a nutshell. You guys can read my research and my dissertation. It's going to be published soon. So it's cultivating global citizenship at OCS in the middle school.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Malonis, and congratulations on the incredible achievement and also the outcomes for our school. Obviously, reducing discipline issues by 25% is something that's quite impressive. And it's a testament to the programs that we have implemented to try to create a more social, emotionally based, right brain practice school. Thank you so much. I'm gonna move on to some other very exciting things from our middle school. In May, 38 of our 7th graders will be participating, will be inducted into Odyssey's National Junior Honor Society. To be eligible for this, they would have to have a GPA of 3.75 or higher. So we're very, very proud of them for doing that. Also, the Business Professionals of America, we have 16 BPA middle school level members that are participating in the national conference now, and this will occur virtually from April 26th to May 9th. And so we wish them well and wish them luck in this event. Four of our BPA middle school level members are going to be recognized during the National Honors Award session on May 7th. These members have gone above and beyond, including the Ambassador Torch Award. The highest level a member can reach is only, and it's only recognized after the completion of 70 points in each torch category. So congratulations on that as well to our middle schoolers. We have Asvika Gobinathan, Araya Gupta, Hasini Potluri, and Subiska Vidya. We also want to recognize Subiska, who will be the BPA middle level representative for the 2021-22 school year. She'll represent all middle level members in the state of Delaware in next year's BPA. So congratulations on that, that's fantastic. As I mentioned before, we have been working on our DEI initiatives, and our leadership team has done 3 sessions already. We have a revised attendance policy that's just about ready to be rolled out as well. We are kind of like pooling our resources and finishing that up. The upgraded grading policy that we have for 6 through 12 has already started to become implemented as well, and that helps foster more equitable outcomes for all learners. board update, we will be doing, pushing through a homelessness and foster youth policy. Right now we're finalizing the draft of that so that the board can then take that on and then make the adjustments that are necessary to ratify it school-wide. So please look for that in our next board meeting. My next monthly communication from the head of schools will be at the beginning of May, so just around the corner. So look for that as well. Parent and student surveys are still, we're still processing that. We're still deciding on the final vendor for this. Staff surveys have already been concluded, and they've been done internally through our union, and they've also been done through Insight at the state Delaware level. Moving forward, we'd like to have a more comprehensive Odyssey-based solution for this. So we will be looking at that for next year. In terms of visual branding, which is one of our large initiatives at the school, we're making a major focus on the visual footprint of the school itself. And maybe if you've been driving by lately, you've noticed the tremendous efforts that have been made to upgrade our flower beds, manicure our athletic facilities, place new signage outside of the buildings, reorganize lobbies and entryways. You're also going to be seeing in the process right now of adding new signage on all the school buildings so that we can remove any previous designations associated with prior occupants of the building. So we really want to make sure that the footprint of the school, that's the feel that you get when you come on, you get the feel of the school. The athletic fields are also being branded with our logo and block letters on the sidelines as a centerpiece for competitive sports. So very soon when you walk on our field, on our soccer field and the baseball diamond in that area, you'll be able to see an Odyssey charter on the one side, owls on the other side, and a big owl logo in the middle, which will definitely help a lot with creating a little bit more of an intimidating environment for our guests that we're welcoming in. I do also want to say that our teams are experiencing success this year. They're also wearing new uniforms, and they're winning games. We have a very successful soccer team. Baseball's winning some games. Softball's winning some games. We have two people that qualified for state on our track team as well. So, you know, keep it up, guys. Go Owls, go. I mean, we're doing it. It's happening. So we're really excited about that as well. Financial update now. I am actually going to turn it over to Jeff, who has some pretty good news for us. Jeff, you want to take it?
I said they're still having a little trouble here. It sounded like you're far away for some reason.
I don't know how to. Is Jeff on the call yet? Or because I know he went back to his office.
Looks like he's there.
Oh, there he's calling me actually. Hold on one moment. Hello? Okay, let me try to do something about that. All right, thanks. All right, so after we did the mute all, now we have to unmute.
Yeah.
I allowed everyone to unmute themselves, so you should be able to.
Hey there.
There we go.
Doesn't look like it's not letting me pop the video back on, but good evening, everyone. Let me see. It doesn't look like I can share the screen, but I can.
I've got it up for you, Jeff.
Okay, I can go through that. And then at the end, I guess once we're all done with this part, I can go over the web report and the amendment to the terms of our WISFIS loan. So I can share that Odyssey has been awarded a $1.9 million grant through the American Rescue Plan, the latest stimulus package from the federal government as part of ESSER III. A mandated 20% portion of this funding must be reserved to address learning loss through the implementation of evidence-based interventions and ensure that those interventions respond to students' social, emotional, and academic needs and address the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 on underrepresented student subgroups. These funds will be available through September 30th, 2024, and we are expected to probably stretch this grant at least that long. It is unclear if LEAs will receive the funds prior to June 30th. So my current budgeted revenues and expenses aren't inclusive of this grant at this time. ESSER II funds, we've reallocated a portion of from the originally budgeted contractual services that we were utilizing to assist with teachers that qualified for ADA, or if we had staff members that were quarantining and we needed extra bodies in the classrooms. That luckily that has come a little bit under budget, so we are reallocating some of those costs to cover additional facilities, HVAC upgrades, and to cover the cost of the courtyard tent so we can have the outdoor overflow for the middle school lunch period. Also in the projected financials, the originally budgeted draw from the repair replace fund in the final budget is being reduced from $240,000 to $110,000 based on some project deferrals and some funding adjustments that we were able to make with the capital items that were on that. At this time, per John Stewart, we're deeming winter over, although if you ask parts of the Midwest, they may not agree, but at this point we're recognizing savings of about $25,000 on snow removal and about $25,000 in energy savings. Projections are showing a positive variance to the final budget that was approved in the last board meeting for approximately $356,000. The projected year end cash on hand right now is projected at $4.8 million. And the projections include a total spend down of federal funds, which will likely not be the case. So in the upcoming monthly reports, when I talk about the cash balance, I'll probably add a caveat on how much of that will be restricted as we move into the new year. On the cash basis, investors report projects a 1.63 debt coverage ratio, which the requirement is 1.1, and 67 estimated days of cash on hand, and the covenant with our bondholders is 60 days at year end.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate that.
Yep.
All right, we are going to move on. Do I have Evan on the call today or no? Let me check on my participants list.
I don't see him.
You don't see him?
No.
Okay, I'll just do his part then. So CDC guidelines, as I mentioned before, still keep us at restricted to 23 students per bus. This is a major obstacle for the school, and we are still continuing to say, please do what you can to provide seats to those that need them the most. And if there's a way for you to bring your child to school, we do ask that you do so. We're continuing to offer open seats on buses as well as find alternative transportation needs for families who are returning full-time. We did add two OCS bus routes in the K through five that helped bring another 46 students to school. And we, as we mentioned before, we are definitely observing and taking notes on the car line and trying to find ways to increase the efficiencies for that as we increase the capacity of the number of cars that are actually making their way to campus. Should you have any concerns or questions, please reach out to Evan Whitaker at extension 440 or email him and he will let you know a little bit more or try to help you in whatever way that he can. And I think that just about wraps it up from my end. Let me stop my sharing. Okay.
Is Jeff done with all his finance stuff?
He's done with his finance stuff.
He has to do the monthly report?
Yeah, I have to hop on and do the monthly report quick. I'm going to share screen and roll through that. Okay. Just to put a bow on this, these financials are based on through March 31st, 2021. The final budgeted revenues that were approved last meeting are $33 million. Revenues collected to date are 32.2, which is 97.5% of the budget. There's a couple small state end items and some local revenue to come between now and June. These are the revenues received during March. Actually, the academia paid rent for 2 months' worth this month. So the next month, they'll be taking one off. but the rest of it is coming through like it should. We're expecting that aftercare number to bump up as we start to allocate bills for the time that was actually spent in the program during March and April. On the expenditure side, the final budgeted expenditures were actually $28.5 million. Expenditures to date are $21.1 million, which represents 74% of the budget, which is in line with where we are through the fiscal year at 75% through the month of March. And this is where we stand as far as the monthly report goes. Are there any questions on that? All right, do we want to move for a vote?
I can't show myself on video. I don't know.
You
know
what?
Show myself on video. Don't we have to show on video?
No.
The vote?
No. I don't think so.
I don't have to. But we have to be on video.
You don't have to.
Okay.
Because we're here.
Oh.
Yeah, we're here. We can see.
So this is Erin. I'll motion to approve the monthly web report.
I'll match for you.
I'll second.
Do you want to run it, Ken, or do you want me because you're closer to a mic?
Oh, sure, that's fine. Any discussion on the motion?
I think it all made sense. No questions.
Okay. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Mark is unanimously approved.
If it's not, if you're not coming through a nice speaker on your desk,
No. When we talk, it's supposed to mute that so that we don't get a feedback loop. If someone could wave if they can hear me talking. Perfect. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay.
On to the Greek program.
Real quick, one more item. It's kind of a formality of sorts. So I mentioned in the last board meeting in the monthly report that we'd come to agreement with Wispus Bank, which is one of our lenders for the St. Thomas property. At the time, we had three outstanding loans with them, and there are certain covenants that they had for us to meet as far as our financials go from a year-to-year basis. During fiscal year 2020, we did not meet some of those covenants regarding the debt-equity ratio of 1.15. So they agreed if we were to pay off a small loan of approximately $60,000, that they'd adjust the covenant moving forward to be 1.10, which we did pay that off. And so now we have to have a resolution to agree to the change in the terms. So these two loans that we have left, outstanding balance is approximately $1.9 million. That mature in 2029. And so the understanding is that these new covenants will make it much easier for us to meet those thresholds on a year-over-year basis. So Elias Regas, let me know if there's anything you think I'm missing there.
No, I think we're good. We're just kind of paying down one loan that's helping with our debt coverage ratio.
What did you say the total amount was that we're paying down?
About 60,000. And while, you know, that also, you know, it leads to less future debt payments as we go through. This was a good year for us to be able to do it, honestly. And I think the bottom line impact was actually about 25,000 after everything's been considered at that point. So, because we still had 5 months or so of payments left on it for this fiscal year. So from a budget standpoint, we were able to add it without many puts and takes.
That's right.
Thanks, Jeff. So we
need
a motion to approve that pay down that loan.
Is it the pay down and the change in terms, or is it just you both, right?
Both, yeah.
So I'll motion to, you know, make the pay down we've discussed and proceed with the change in terms for the remaining loan.
Need a second.
I'll second it. Anna Maria.
Discussion on that. I guess we'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
All right. Thanks, everyone. And if you have any other questions, don't hesitate to reach out.
I think Dr. Marina is muted, if somebody can unmute her.
Okay, go.
Okay, I cannot turn on my camera, so I'm just leaving it as it is. Okay, so just a few announcements. The Center for the Greek Language announced the final dates of the examination for the Certification of Attainment in Modern Greek. The exams will be held in October 2021, replacing the May 2021 exams, which were postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, we have three OCS high school students who applied for the scholarship granted by the Center for Hellenic Studies, Harvard University, Nafplio, Greece. And we are looking forward to receiving the news about the winner. So we hope that we will know the winner very soon. At this point, I would like to share with you some exciting news about teachers of the Greek department. So about an hour ago, Dr. Ioanna Lekaku gave a beautiful webinar for the American Council of Teachers of Foreign Languages for the Modern Greek SIG. And that was a fantastic opportunity for her to present the work that she does with OCS students in her Greek language classes. We would also like to extend our warmest congratulations to three members of the Greek department, Dr. Alexandra Milonas, Nikki Tandalo, and Maria Paraponiari. As already announced, at the beginning of April, Dr. Alexandra Milonas earned her doctorate in education from the University of Wilmington. Nikki Tandalo completed the Universal Design for Learning Certificate, co-credential level 2 from the University of Delaware. This is a credential for educators, education administrators, and instructional coaches. Last but not least, Maria Paraponiari was nominated Education Community Leader in the Rybakov Preschool Award competition in Europe, in which 21,000 teachers from 50 countries participated. Maria earned an invitation to a virtual summer school. Thank you so much. That was all on my part.
Wonderful, thank you. Anything from the CBOC? Oh, there is none. All right, committee reports. First up is diversity, equity, and
I guess I can give a brief report. First of all, I apologize to everybody about the horrible sound tonight. I can barely hear you guys. I had questions, but I didn't know where we were, so I didn't ask questions earlier on. As far as the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, we had our monthly meeting last week on Tuesday the 13th. It was pretty well attended. Things are moving forward. We need more people to get involved, more people to assume positions of chairmanships or co-chairmanships to move things forward. Hopefully in the next meeting, we can kind of narrow things down and focus on a couple areas, on a couple things that we want to concentrate for the rest of the year and then regroup for the following year. On Wednesday the 14th, we also had the Leadership Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion training. As always, we have very insightful conversations during those meetings. On the 30th, during our in-service, we have been fortunate to be able to book Principal L who is, I think, worldwide known speaker. I personally have not heard his presentations in the past, and I'm looking forward to this one. His topic is going to be classroom leadership in a changing world, addressing equity, social justice, and culture. So that's about it for the diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. I just wanted to add, as far as the visual branding of the school, my sincere thanks to the PTO. Due to their generosity, they were able to purchase for us a beautiful showcase for the atrium of Building 21. And in that showcase right now, we have placed two traditional Greek costumes that are very meaningful to the history of our school, as they belong to one of the founders of the school, to the person who actually is credited with bringing the idea about a charter school based on the Greek language to Delaware, and that was Dr. Yannos. So we were able to place those costumes there for the students to see them and learn, and hopefully we're going to keep them there forever. Thank you, PTO.
All right, the immersion.
Okay. We had our first immersion meeting in a month because of all the activities, the Greek Independence Day, and then break. But it was a pretty effective meeting that we had this afternoon. What amazes me about our group of Greek teachers is that they not only have a curriculum in front of them, they have to translate it from English into Greek and make it work for their students. So they do a lot of work that isn't really visible to everyone. So there's a core group of translators. Dr. Marina, you can probably name them who they are, but they do a lot of outside work that doesn't really get recognized, that really deserves a lot of credit for the program, just to keep it functioning so we can teach our children Greek. We are also looking on how we are going to expand the program after the fifth grade. Dr. Marina is working on the structure, and then we're going to see how that's going to look and how that's going to work in our new in the school, the system program, how it's going to facilitate, how we're going to get enough people in the positions that we need, enough qualified people in those positions. The thing we have to remember is every time we bring on new curriculum, someone has to translate it. So it takes a lot of work, and we've been doing it without funding right now. And it's as we grow, we need to either figure out a way to have more people help or find other means of funding to get this done. So it's just a little inside look at what goes on and what actually has to do to get these programs to our children so they can learn. And they are learning, and they're learning beautifully. I hear even from outside. In fact, I went to my chiropractor. One of the parents there is bringing her child into the immersion. She wasn't sure what program she was going into. So, I'm trying to work with her to see what program works best. But they're learning, and that's what we're doing.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Next committee is fundraising. There you go.
She might not be able to.
You've got to unmute.
She might not be able to.
We're working on it.
I'm just going to test and see if I can.
Georgia, do you want to take this then?
Yeah, I can.
Marianne's getting shot right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, thank you for
is Georgia on?
Getting vaccinated. Yep.
Can you hear me now? I couldn't unmute. This is Georgia. Good evening, everyone. I couldn't turn on my camera or my microphone, but I'm good now. If you can hear me. Okay, so the fundraising committee is trying to develop a systematic approach to development of a program. We are looking into sites that can organize our fundraising database, which we believe is very important. And we will most likely meet one more time before the end of the school year. And we want to discuss the further the fundraising issues and some solutions once we get the database up and running so we can start to do to reach out. So that's all for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for stepping in. PTO report. Hi there.
I just saw him.
It's Kaya from PTO. Are you guys waiting for me? I can barely hear you.
Perfect timing. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, so just a quick update. We are doing our book fair this week and into next week up to Tuesday. Tomorrow night is our parent, teacher, and cohort C where you can come shopping. So it's going to be from 3:30 to 7:30 tomorrow. It's a small gym between building 21 and 22. As of today, we have added additional time for cohort C students and parents to shop as well. Next Tuesday, which I believe is April 27th. There's some daytime hours from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. on that day as well. We're trying to expand our availability basically for the students that are at home. So that's taking place. The book fair is going well. The children are having a great time. The only other thing from PTO right now is we have Purse Bingo coming up. That is going to be on May 22nd at the school. And the link should be online to make purchases. So look out for that. That's come up. And we're finalizing the brick paving project for building 21 for the first round of bricks to go out. And that is going to be completed on Friday. So if you have any questions about that, you can email me or make your brick purchases. That's it. Have a great night, guys.
Wonderful. Thank you. Communications committee? Not sure if there's any.
In communications, yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As for communications, we've basically been doing the same thing, just kind of working around with board bites and ensuring any kind of interdepartmental communication. And we haven't had to send out any press releases yet in the last month. So that's where we are now.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is the end of the committees, unless I've missed one. Okay. New business? Anyone?
The only thing I'll throw out there is we're going to small a small team together to kind of make some updates to the bylaws, minor updates. There's some things like change in leadership. So we have to remove stuff like board members for like the co-head of school, like the campus operations office, for some other minor updates to the board bylaws. So we'll probably get that group together. And it should be relatively quick, maybe over the next 2 weeks. We'll bring those forward to the board to review and make a vote probably at the next board meeting. Nothing major, more structural changes. Probably look at term limits a little bit, maybe optional extending term limits for officers, et cetera. Other than that, mostly just some cleanup that we need to do in that regard.
Any other new business? All right. Go to the school? Anyone?
sorry?
For the good of the school? I mean, we're all working for the good of the school, but specifically anything in particular.
I don't think there's anything.
Okay. We don't need an executive session.
No.
Do we need to approve the calendar tonight at some point?
Oh, the calendar.
We do have to approve the initial calendar. Is it done with the revisions?
Are there any objections? Does it need to be approved by the end of this month?
Yes.
For submission?
Yes.
It's been sent to everybody. I don't think anybody had any major items, but we could.
There wasn't anything major on it.
Approve it unless there's any minor changes by the end of the month.
That's a concern.
I said we vote to just approve the calendar for next year, pending any adjustments before the end of the month.
I move we approve the calendar as presented for the fiscal for the year 2021-2022.
Mm-hmm. Next school year.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I would just like to add really quickly that this is just the skeleton version of the calendar that we're approving now. There will be building level things that are added to the calendar. So this will go back to the specific school sites for all of this, all of the very intricate things that happened at all our wonderful schools to be added to it. Our goal is to have the calendar out to families by the end of May, so everybody knows exactly what is going on next year.
When you say things being, can you just give me an example of what you mean by building level things being added?
Sure, like, you know, on the high school calendar, you put the PSATs or when the SATs are, stuff
so
like that,
event
or when
driven.
Prom is. And
okay, events
like
and things like that. Okay, got it.
Any
That's
other discussion
so.
On the calendar? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So there is we may want to publish the one-page calendar on the website because I know parents and others want to kind of have a general idea of when school starts, when our vacation breaks, those big items. Have that on there as soon as we can, if not immediately, and then the more detailed versions for each school we can publish as those things become available.
So we should publish the short one like this month.
We can put it on the website as soon as tomorrow. Now that's first
page.
That's a good idea. I think people are trying to build trips.
I
think that's it. I suggest we call for an adjournment.
I move to adjourn the meeting.
I second.
All right.
And I'd also like to congratulate you on running a really smooth meeting, Kev. Thank you. Quick and smooth and efficient.
Shorter than last month. I like this. and full of, and consistently full of good news, which is also
gotta love
very
that.
Wonderful to hear. So meeting is adjourned. It's exactly 7:00. Thank you all for your time and effort, and appreciate your patience as we work through the technical glitches. Every meeting's getting better.
Thank you all for.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.